switching gears, let's talk a little Texas politics and our good friend Matt Mikowiak of MustReadTexas.com, also GOP strategist, joins us this morning here on KFYO. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Tough weekend for the Red Raiders and the Longhorns.
Yeah. And for Red Raider fans, we had a brief little, hey, things could go well here, and then Baylor woke up, I guess, is basically
yep,
what
happened. Inevitable.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Matt, it's an interesting weekend, one on Friday that kind of kicked off with Senator John Cornyn announcing his reelection bid and Governor Rick Perry introducing him, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But as far as John Cornyn goes, obviously, and we've talked about this many times, that Cornyn, it does not look as though he will have a real challenger, a serious challenger in his Republican primary. But it does seem as though he has a lot of reaching out to do, because after I had him on my show Friday morning, I still got a ton of phone calls and emails from listeners who are still just very, very upset at Cornyn. How does he bridge that gap between the Tea Party crowd and you know, his crowd, the crowd that the Tea Party views as more of the establishment Republican in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'd say is that you know, and I'm a big Ted Cruz fan, supported him for U.S. Senate, consider him a friend, a lot of his senior staff are friends of mine. I'm a Ted Cruz guy. I'm also proud to support John Cornyn because I believe he's a conservative. And I think that for your listeners, the important thing is, if Ted Cruz is your standard, John Cornyn's never going to meet your standard. But I think Texas is best served by having two senators that focus in different areas. And so Cornyn is focused on his committees, on the Finance Committee, which is pretty much the most powerful committee in the United States Senate, and on Judiciary. And Cruz is playing the inside game as a member of leadership and being effective and promoting conservative principles. And Ted Cruz is focused on the outside game. And so, number one, I think there are a lot of people out there that see Ted Cruz and they say, well, Senator Cornyn, why can't you be like Ted Cruz? Well, number one, they're not the same person. Number two, they're very different temperamentally. Cornyn is a judge by nature. That's his background. Yeah. Cruz is more of a, really a person that sort of likes to make and win arguments. That's what he thinks his skills and his passion is in. So they're different people. I think for Cornyn, the bottom line is, yes, you got to do some outreach. You know, if you sort of anger the grassroots, it takes you only a moment to anger them, but it takes a long period of time to win back their support and their trust. And so I think that some of the criticism that Cornyn's gotten has been overblown and overdone. But I would say that all he can do now is outreach. And listen, his team's been doing that. He's been putting op-eds up on Breitbart. Mm-hmm. He's been talking to National Review. He's focusing on a lot of issues that conservatives care about. And so I think that, you know, you got to dig down below that surface level frustration over the difference in opinion on the defund Obamacare effort. Dig down and you'll see Senator Cornyn is pretty damn conservative. And I think most of your listeners, if they focus on what Senator Cornyn's actually doing, they will be pleased with almost all of what he's doing.
Well, I think it's also pretty telling that you had a Tea Party activist, a big-name Tea Party activist, that said, you know what, I don't think so, I'm not going to run. And you don't see really anyone stepping up, and besides some folks who are you know, going to run in the Republican primary, just maybe to keep them honest. You don't see any Tea Party activists, and you don't really see anything from any Cruz staff. You know, there's not been that wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, somebody get out there and run against Cornyn.
That's right, and so I think there's a little bit of frustration, but it's not enough that people think he's actually vulnerable and they're actually willing to step forward. Contrast that with someone like David Dewhurst, and you and I have talked about this on the air before.
Yeah.
You have three first-tier candidates running for lieutenant governor because they believe David Dewhurst is truly vulnerable. We have two statewide elected officials who are giving up their statewide office, not running for re-election, to have a shot at running for lieutenant governor, and you have a state senator who's a Senate Education Committee chairman and is powerful and well-known. So you have three candidates there that believe David Dewhurst is vulnerable enough that they're all willing to take a 25% chance to try to become lieutenant governor, whereas Cornyn, you don't have any of those folks stepping forward or anyone even near that caliber.
Yeah.
I believe you have 24 Republicans in Congress in the Texas congressional delegation. Not one of them is primarying Senator Cornyn. If they believed he was vulnerable, if they believed he wasn't a conservative, this would be the year to do it, and they're not doing it. And so you got to put Senator Cornyn in one category and put Lindsey Graham and Lamar Alexander and Thad Cochran and some of these other more moderate U.S. Senate Republicans who are incumbents in a whole other category. Those folks could potentially be truly vulnerable, or in a way that I think Senator Cornyn is clearly not.
Is Mitch McConnell right now, and it's kind of going in a different direction, just a little bit, is Mitch McConnell in that category of Lindsey Graham as being someone who could really face a very strong primary challenge?
It's a good question. I intentionally left Senate Leader McConnell off the list for the following reason. I don't believe that he's vulnerable in his primary. I really don't think that his challengers has enough strength and can put it together and defeat Senator McConnell in that primary. I do think there is a risk that Republicans could win the number of seats they need to take the majority back, and then Leader McConnell is weakened so badly by a nasty primary that he narrowly loses next November to the Democratic challenger, Allison Grimes. So, Allison Lundgren Grimes. So, you know, there is a little bit of a concern there. Listen, I'm in favor of primaries. I think competition's good. I think these incumbents don't get challenged, get lazy. They still get Potomac fever. They forget who they're representing. They forget what it's like to be home. So I think primaries are a good thing. But I also, you know, my number one goal is to make sure Republicans have control of the United States Senate in January 2015. And it's so important for the last 2 years of the Obama agenda. You've got to shut down the Supreme Court nominees. You've got to shut down his agenda. He's going to try to do everything through the executive branch. And so you've got to, with the Senate, you can truly shut it down. With the House, you can sort of stop some of it. With the House and the Senate, you could stop both.
Yeah. Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Interesting piece put out by the Texas Tribune, and it appeared in the New York Times over the weekend about Rick Perry. And I thought the title was a little misleading, Rick Perry's Move to the Middle. I don't know about that, but contrasting Rick Perry to Ted Cruz and showing that Rick Perry is a little bit more into the middle, I guess, of the Republican Party than Ted Cruz is, but he's a lot more conservative than Chris Christie is. Do you see that move by Rick Perry right now?
I think it's slight. I think it's almost so slight that it can't be seen with the human eye. I do think that part of this is that he wants to differentiate himself in Texas and nationally from Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
You know, remember, Perry endorsed Dewhurst. He's not a huge Cruz fan. He said some nice things. He's also differed with him. He differed with him on the shutdown. He's generally been somewhat more moderate on immigration, certainly in the past few years, than most conservatives have been. But I'd also say that you know, I'm actually somewhat impressed with the sort of rebranding that Governor Perry's been involved in with his jobs tour. He had this appearance on Crossfire opposite Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, who's a potential presidential candidate, where he held his own on the Second Amendment and gun issues very, very well a couple months ago. So we'll see. I don't necessarily think that Perry's trying to become a moderate or anything like that. He's still a strong conservative. But I do think what you are starting to see, Chad, is you're starting to see a break between governors who think a governor should be the nominee in 2016 and senators and congressmen who don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, you just saw Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, over the weekend. He believes the nominee needs to be a governor, and that actually excludes his good friend Paul Ryan, and he specifically said that. So you are going to start to see governors, I think, circle up around each other and say, listen, senators talk, governors do. We need to have a governor in office, and I think you're going to start to see that really play out.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, and you know, the way I've always viewed Rick Perry, I've never seen him as the true far-right Tea Party guy. Maybe the Tea Party when it was first getting started, but never the Ted Cruz-esque type of candidate. Matt,
right.
Keep going. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, yeah, absolutely. And 2016 is going to be fascinating because you're going to have two candidates from Texas, and they are going to have different parts of the base, different parts of the party. And Texas is big enough probably to support two candidates for president.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much. What can people find this morning on MustReadTexas.com?
Yeah, the piece you referenced from Ross Ramsey on Perry attacking the middle is up. There's also a piece on how Democrats are targeting Tarrant County and Fort Worth as sort of their bellwether for 2014. And lots of other good stuff. You can sign up for the morning newsletter at MustReadTexas.com.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much, sir. Always appreciate it.
Take care, Chad.
Have a good one. It's Matt Mikowiak. You can follow him on Twitter, @MattMikowiak on Twitter. He tweets out a lot of great stuff.